Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the Tuesday happy hour. Dominic, kind of acknowledge our last fine guest, Dr. Harvey K. Always great when Harvey comes around. You could be our guest in this big hour, 844-967-2789. Dom, we started the show. I acknowledged the fact that this is the two-year anniversary of the beginning of the Kenosha unrest. And gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels, along with Brian Steil and others, went to the scene of the unrest. They went to Kenosha and made a big political event out of it. I'd like to share some of the reporting. Molly Beck, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. On the two-year anniversary of Kenosha unrest after the Jacob Blake shooting, Tim Michaels hits Tony Evers' response to the riots. And Tony has subsequently responded. We've got coverage also from WispPolitics.com. Republicans running for the highest state offices toured downtown Kenosha Tuesday to mark the second anniversary of the violence and destruction that plagued the southeastern Wisconsin city for days that summer, a centerpiece to their campaign against Democratic incumbents. Governor hopeful Tim Michaels and Attorney General candidate Eric Toney met with U.S. Rep. Brian Steil, law enforcement officers and Kenosha officials, and of course, Dom, criticized Governor Tony Evers for his response to the riots. Here is the statement. You can fix buildings, you can rebuild businesses, but I fear that I still heard in the people's voices today the concern that they have that this could happen again because they see no change in Madison. That's what November is all about, Michaels told reporters following a roundtable discussion with law enforcement. Evers said Monday he has no regrets about how he handled the unrest in Kenosha in 2020. Here is the statement from Governor Evers, and I have another. Obviously, violence and the results that happened are not acceptable in any stretch of the way, but we worked with the leaders in Kenosha, and every time they asked us for something, even the very first day, we did exactly what they wanted us to do, Evers said in a campaign stop in West Allis. Evers said blaming him now is ridiculous. It's a dead issue. Obviously, we want Kenosha to recover and move to a better place. But at the end of the day, blaming me for that situation is just dead wrong. And it's politics as usual. Now, Dom, I'd like to jump over to one more quote from Tony Evers. This at wispolitics.com. Evers, also at an event, called GOP gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels a liar for suggesting the Dem governor failed to provide support to Kenosha amid protests and riots in the summer of 2020. The bottom line is, it's a lie. That is the quote from Governor Tony Evers. The construction executive in a tweet of the video. Now, there's a video out there, Dom. Michaels, ahead of the event, released a video on Twitter in which Evers says he would not change anything he did in response to the violence and looting in Kenosha after Jacob Blake Jr., we talked about him, the black man from Kenosha, was shot by a white Kenosha police officer. Blake, who survived and is now paralyzed, was shot 2 years ago today. What was less than 3 months after George Floyd, a black man from Minnesota, was killed by a Minneapolis police officer, sparking nationwide protest and unrest. And the construction executive, again, we're talking about gubernatorial candidate in Wisconsin, Tim Michaels, the construction executive in his tweet of the video, blasted Evers. From COVID to Kenosha, Tony Evers has failed us. His instincts are terrible. His policies are even worse. Evers in Milwaukee fired back, calling Michael's statements stupid. He said more than that. Called him stupid.
Stupid. Well, you know, it kind of rhymes. COVID to Kenosha. It's got the k. So they're going to stick with it regardless of how asinine it sounds or how factual their beef is. So let's get to the facts of it.
Wait. Before we do that, there's one more I think we got to bring forth. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, because he's out there kind of on the, you know, reading from the same script today.
Yeah, go ahead.
Quick statement from Rojo. The Kenosha riots should have ended after one night, but they didn't because Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes released incendiary statements before they had all the facts. They incited the rioters and refused to provide the type of manpower to quell the rioting. That, according to Rojo.
Well, and he knows something about incitement, doesn't he? Yeah, this is the guy who was
It was just a few seconds, man. Just a couple of seconds.
That was only a few seconds. I mean, what do you want me to do? It was only a couple of seconds. I was barely there. I'm barely involved in the coup attempt against this country.
Well, the man, Tom, and I know you've got some of this information because we've got a little PolitiFact on this. But the man, Evers, Tony Evers, the governor, authorized 125 National Guard troops the day after the shooting, doubled it to 250 the next day. Tuesday, August 25th, according to the governor's office, Evers spoke with Donald Trump on the afternoon of August 25th and declined the former president's offer to send federal agents from Homeland Security. Kyle Rittenhouse shot three people, killing two of them that night. The next day, Evers increased the number of National Guard troops to 500 and accepted the Trump administration's offer to provide additional FBI and U.S. Marshal support, according to Evers' office. Critics contend that was inadequate. Inadequate, I tell you.
Less than 24 hours after the incident. Let's not forget. Let's talk about this incident for a moment, because I'm pretty sure on the two-year anniversary of Blake getting shot that they did not, the Republicans down there today, acknowledge him. Right? Shot in the back, what, seven times, unarmed? I believe he was unarmed. In the back, while the police officer was holding his shirt as a man was getting into his car, shot him seven times in the back. This is after George Floyd. And so when unarmed black men are getting murdered by police, as we witnessed in Minnesota with the George Floyd case, yeah, people have some issues with that. And then you see some people who, you know, take it too far and then start things on fire. Now there's, you know, there's folks out there that are, you know, propaganda. They're out there, you know, jumping in with the crowd. I remember a guy from Minnesota was actually like someone from Texas, some right winger from Texas, trying to instigate the crowd into this. You got to be careful. Those things happen. When you're in a crowd, when you're in a big crowd and there's emotions running high, especially in something like that, yeah, I mean, all you need sometimes is a little spark. You got to remember to keep your cool. And sometimes people don't keep their cool. And sometimes stuff breaks and stuff gets burnt. Sometimes, you know, guys come in from Minnesota and shoot people and then get away with it. But ultimately, this continual bitch about how Black Lives Matter and how people reacted is not being addressed by the Republicans whatsoever, because then they would have to acknowledge the unarmed shooting of black men as a consistent problem in this country. And as Blake's shooting and paralysis have shown, it continued here in the state of Wisconsin, and people were upset about it. Now, my understanding, the person that set the fires in Kenosha, convicted. Arson.
3 years.
Three years. Doing time. So justice prevails. But to have people like Johnson, people like Michaels, conservative callers say, well, he waited 3 days. No, he didn't. Governor Evers sent, again, according to PolitiFact, around 3 o'clock a.m. on August 24th, Kenosha Sheriff David Beth submitted a formal request to the state calling for support from the Wisconsin National Guard. Later that day at 3:05 p.m., less than 24 hours after Jacob Blake was shot while unarmed in the back seven times, I would add to this, this isn't just a gun that just happened to go off. Evers authorized 125 members of the National Guard to support local law enforcement agencies. Neighboring jurisdictions had provided more than 100 law enforcement officers the night before, a presence that would continue. On August 25th, at 2:33 p.m., the governor doubled the number of National Guard troops to 250, as Crudy mentioned. So he reacted. It didn't take days. It was less than 24 hours. It was a measured reaction. He responded to local authorities. And as things got more and more difficult, he sent more and more troops and ultimately accepted federal help from the Trump administration. So unless you're telling me that Governor Eaton should have sent in the 101st Airborne immediately, I think he reacted as appropriately as he should have. And let's, not forget that police officers are in this country shooting unarmed black men and getting away with it in most cases. So the problem that I have is, number one, the factual misinformation being presented by Republicans and conservatives is about Evers. You can say he only sent 125. He should have sent, 500 on the first. Okay, that's something to say. But to say he did not react for 3 days is a factual is not factual. That is a lie, and that is stupid, as the governor said.
When do our conservative friends start letting the truth get in the way, Dom? The other statement made by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is effectively the statements of Tony Evers inside of the riot. So here are the quotes of Tony Evers on the day that Jacob Blake was shot. Tonight, I quote the governor, tonight, Jacob Blake was shot in the back multiple times in broad daylight in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Kathy and I join his family, friends, and neighbors in hoping earnestly that he will not succumb to his injuries. While we do not have all the details yet, what we know for certain is that this is not the first black man or person to have been shot or injured mercilessly killed at the hands of individuals in law enforcement in our state or our country. More from Evers. We stand with all those who have and continue to demand justice, equity, and accountability for black lives in our country. Lives like those of George Floyd, of Breonna Taylor, Tony Robinson, Dontre Hamilton, Ernest Lacey, Sylvie Smith, and we stand against excessive use of force and immediate escalation when engaging black Wisconsinites. I have said all along that although we must offer our sympathy, equally important is our action. In the coming days, we will demand just that of elected officials in our state who have failed to recognize the racism in our state and our country for far too long. Well, clearly, Tony Evers incited a riot and the vigilante shootings of Kyle Rittenhouse. All Tony's fault. It's all very clear from the statement he made.
Yeah, you can see how that happens.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We'll get to the phones next. 844-96-PARTY.
I think I did our country a great fire.
Fire, fury, and frankly, power.
Ah!
Ah! Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to the phones right now. You can be a part at 844-967-2789. Let's get to it. CJ, the good CJ from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Welcome, CJ. What do you got for us?
Hi, fellas. Good Tuesday to you.
Thank you. You too.
Since I spent most of over a decade in the military doing connecting the dots, try this for connecting the dots and corroborative evidence. If Lavrov was the first Russian ambassador into the White House ever, it takes about 5 years to build a satellite, 6 years. So within the last 4 days, I believe it was on the nightly news, Russia was successfully launching, or had successfully launched, a spy satellite within a 3 to 5 minute window to get that close in the same exact orbit as our spy satellite. Now, if that's not special access programming, I will kiss somebody's white derriere.
So you're implying or stating, CJ, that the former president, Donald Trump, gave effectively U.S. secrets to a foreign adversary through their emissary, Lavrov, the Russian ambassador. The guy Correct. He had down to the Oval Office. They had big yucks about firing Comey.
I would
Comey.
Be searching for that document.
Well,
because there's a date time stamp on all the documents that are especially special access programs. And the only way you know the launch times and or the secret calls, if they've been updated by whoever launched the satellite. Oh, hey, we got a 3 to 5 minute window. This is when we're launching. Here's your daytime group.
CJ, you make sort of a compelling argument.
Oh, nobody worried about, man. It's just paper. It's just a paper crime, CJ. Don't worry about it. No big deal.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC. Welcome back, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. And thanks to the good CJ. But a paper crime is still a paper crime, and Trump had no business taking any of those documents out of the White House. You can glean classified information from non-classified materials, you know, because that's what they have analysts doing. I mean, pouring through this stuff to see if there's bits and pieces and clues of what's going on here. I mean, even personnel logs. I mean, that's might not be classified, but it's valuable information to our adversaries. I mean, it is just...
You recall the last conversation, Mark, we had, and we talked about the fact that Donald Trump effectively told NBC's Lester Holt that he fired the FBI director, James Comey, to relieve the pressure of the Rusher thing, right? And then he had the two Sergis down to the Oval Office, and we didn't learn that from the U.S. We learned that from Russian...
Russia TV.
Sources, right?
I mean, it's just ridiculous that they still defend this man, saying the Russia investigation was nothing. Well, it was something, because now we found out that, you know, Billy Barr, you know, cooked the books, so to speak, and you know, to take the pressure off of Donald Trump. I mean, so Bill Barr is no hero, and that anything that was taken is supposed to go back to never should have left the White House, and the man needs to be held accountable.
Mark, are you like me? Blame James Santel every time we mention the name Bill Barr, because technically Santel worked for Bill Barr.
No, I do not blame Jim Santel.
You should. You really should.
And the Republicans lying about Evers' response to Kenosha, he responded in less than 24 hours to the situation.
Yeah.
I mean when he required more of a response, he gave more of a response. I mean, Dom pointed out these guys are just lying. You can't say, well, it's just a difference of opinion. No, it's just a lie. Out and out lie, and they say, and Evers just needs to come on, say it's a lie.
Mark, excellent point. He did effectively
came out and said, absolutely. And good,
"That's
good,
a lie."
Good call, Mark, and well done, Governor Evers. Call him out for what it is. It's a lie.
Let me ask you, is it a fair criticism in that Jacob Blake, the shooting was on what, Sunday afternoon? The governor of the state of Wisconsin made a statement on Sunday afternoon, and by 3:05 p.m., if I understood the timeline, dispatched troops on Monday, the next day, within 24 hours of the initial shooting. But after the initial vandalism and some arson had already occurred. Should he, I think the accusation is, I think what all these Republicans are saying is, if he'd have made a preemptive show of force, if National Guard troops had been there after this incident, before any of the damage had happened, well, it'd be a different circumstance.
But I mean, of course, it's a circular argument. You'd never have, if there's no reason to have the National Guard there, you wouldn't have the National Guard there. There needs to be an incident before the National Guard.
Well, the incident was the shooting of Jacob Blake. People were obviously reacting in real time. The governor reacted. He made a statement.
Yes. I mean, there's always going to be criticism, Crudy. I mean, I don't know. Yes, will Republicans continue to criticize? Yes. Do I think it was an adequate response? Sure. I mean, given what we knew and the timeline in which these things occurred, yes, you're going to have people that were always going to, you know, Monday morning quarterback that thing. But I don't.
Yeah,
think
but Tony is still saying,
an unarmed black man gets shot, you go send in the National Guard. I mean, if that would be the case, we'd have National Guards being deployed all over this country all the time. So,
well,
no,
within a couple months,
it's a bunk argument.
Within a couple months of what happened in Minneapolis, we got people listening right now, AM 950 listeners in Minneapolis. It was within a couple of months of the George Floyd. It wasn't like there was no sort of precedent if a black man gets killed unjustly. Now, obviously, Jacob Blake did not end up dead. And you could say it's just because he had a knife or he's stealing his girlfriend's car, whatever the case may be. I don't see it that way, but you could make that argument. But ultimately, there had...
Anyway, man, I mean, was it Tommy Thompson's fault when somebody, some jackass flipped over a cop car in La Crosse and burned it in the streets of La Crosse?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or when, you know, some...
I take no responsibility whatsoever.
...was a national championship and they go nuts and things get broken. You know, I mean, give me a break. No, no. I don't buy it 1 minute. They're taking advantage of it. And what they're not doing is addressing why did those people, why did everybody react the way they did? Why did Evers release that statement? Why were there protests in Kenosha? Why was that? It was the unarmed shooting of a black man. That's why. Why don't you address that, Republicans?
And perhaps you respond before there's violence. That's the criticism being leveled at Evers. Come back, more Devils.
This Russia thing.
Danny, this isn't Russia. Is this Russia? This isn't Russia, is it?
Nah, I didn't think so. It is Russia.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have 1 foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Tuesday edition, the two-year anniversary of the unrest in Kenosha. And the occasion was marked, as our friend Pat Kreitlow pointed out, by gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels, Republican, going down there and basically blaming the current governor, Tony Evers, for all that ails the world, especially the violence that happened in Kenosha that night, the arson, the burning, the looting. And as you pointed out, the false allegations leveled at the governor that he was not responsive. One iota, did nothing. Well, that's not true. He did, within 24 hours, order 125 troops. That became 250. That became 500. He declined Homeland Security from Trump. That was the night that Kyle Rittenhouse went on his vigilante shooting spree, but then eventually did accept Marshall and FBI assistance from the federal government as well. Now, earlier today, I believe, if I read the quote correctly, Tony Evers said, you know, I have no regrets. There's no way I could have handled this differently. I know that the allegations could be leveled against Evers. Well, you could have been a little more preemptive. You could have, you know, dispatched National Guard troops before there was violence, not after, not reactively to the violence. And of course, anything that happened thereafter, it's all Tony's fault. That's the way it's being played, right? But could Evers play it differently? Could Evers say, well, you know, my only regret is we couldn't preemptively stop instigators from driving in from out of state and causing trouble and putting what was otherwise probably going to be a, you know, a peaceful protest, much like the protest that happened in May in Madison that I was at, the Black Lives Matter protest. And at noon, you know, they marched for George Floyd. And they marched for the kid that had died, Tony Robinson, in Madison. And they came together, and Brandy Grayson led that group very peacefully. And I watched her, and it was a very powerful day.
Yeah.
And by the end of the afternoon, I went home. Michael Johnson from the Boys and Girls Club, he was another guy there. He went home. But about 150, let's call them agitators, stuck around and looted businesses on State Street and kicked in windows. And there was an inadequate police response because they weren't expecting violence, otherwise peaceful protest. Well, as it turned out, you know, the vast majority of those people were not Black Lives Matter protesters. They were people looking to break stuff. Same thing that kind of happened down in Kenosha, at least on the first night. The only regret that perhaps Tony Evers, and I'm not saying he regrets it, he says he doesn't, but if on the same day that he made the statement regarding the Jacob Blake shooting, if he'd have said, you know, out of an abundance of caution, we're going to have National Guard troops out to observe the peaceful protest and make sure no outside agitators turn this into something bigger, which is what happened. You know, well, if I didn't do that, I might have a regret or two. Now, is he responsible for the dead people at the end of Rittenhouse's gun?
That
no.
That could be the reaction for any executive branch member in any situation, anytime there's a protest anywhere. right? As far as I recall, some of the goings on in the Madison protesters were some of the college girls breaking stuff, right?
Yeah, kids from a couple of teenage girls from Wanakee in different places.
Come on, man. You know, I mean, we've all been there, Crudy. We've talked about it. And some of it, usually it's having a good time and maybe taking too many mushrooms. And, you know, God knows, never to the degree that, oh, my God, you know, the power of the state through the police officers or armed officers are shooting unarmed black men. You know, a real reason to be upset. A real reason to protest instead of some football games or Coon Creek, for example. So, yeah, I mean, young people do dumb things. To your point, I think he gave an appropriate breath. There were local authorities on the ground. They did ask at 3 in the morning, and by 3 in the afternoon, that came through. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, what was going to happen already happened. So unless, you know, the locals didn't ask for that immediately. They asked for it at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they got it the next day within 12 hours, within 24 hours of the action. So there's also the political side of a too much show of force, man. That's also politically not great. Oh, something happened. Here's a thousand National Guardsmen. Wait, what the hell is this? Man, I remember in La Crosse, we were just hanging out partying, and they brought in, you know, riot police on horses and gear. And it was an escalation. Their presence was an escalation to people just hanging out. So you have to balance all these things out. And to balance it out, to let it breathe, to listen to the local authorities, let them handle it, and to eventually do the track and do the way that Tony did it, I don't know, man. I have to think I'd do it about the same.
844-967-2789. Robert from West Allis. Welcome, Robert. What do you got for us?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, I don't know if you guys have mentioned this already, but if we think about that timeline, that piece of garbage, Alex Jones, right? The Newtown shooting denier, the one that's being sued into oblivion, he also played a role in this. So it wasn't just January 6th he was involved with. He played a role in this. If you remember, there was a Facebook group that he was sponsoring and promoting, and these wing nuts actually wanted the governor to deputize them, so when they showed up with their AR-15 that they could pretend, you know, cosplay that they were the sheriff or the police and, you know, do what they did there. So, you know, to act like they didn't have a role in stemming and creating the violence between him and Trump and his cohort there, they set a lot of this in motion in themselves. So I don't think we point that out enough that, yeah, there was violence, but a lot of it had to do with all of these people coming from out of town to protect property they didn't know.
Great, great point, Robert. Thank you for the call. And you're right. You know, sometimes we forget about what was the environment like? What were the agitations? What were the prodding, the poking? What was going on a national? What was going on the social media side of it? I think that's a great point, Robert. Thank you for bringing it up.
Here is what I found at the Chicago Tribune. After two straight nights of violent unrest, former alderman Kevin Mathewson, Mathewson, posted a call to arms on Facebook page of his fledgling militia group, Kenosha Guard, formed in the days after George Floyd was killed by police in Minneapolis. Bear with me, folks. The page boasted only 87 likes, but Mathewson got a wide response for his Tuesday post asking for patriots willing to take up arms and defend Kenosha from evil thugs. That was his posting. Within about 4 hours, some 1,000 people responded they were going to Kenosha. Another 4,000 said they were interested. Later in the day, Mathewson, an assault-style rifle visibly strapped around his chest, posted a 15-second clip of civilians gathered near the courthouse. That night, police say the civilian with an assault-style weapon shot and killed two men. That, of course, was Kyle Rittenhouse. Another, as armed vigilantes patrolled the street during yet another violent night of protests following the police shooting of Jacob Blake. Anyways, so there was a militia group that basically help bring interest in people like Kyle Rittenhouse, although specifically Rittenhouse doesn't allege that he was inspired by that specific militia group.
844-967-2789. Well, here's a guy that we need to edify because he said some things that were apparently not accurate yesterday. CJ, yesterday you said, and we can pull the tape, but trust me when I tell you, that Governor Evers did not respond for 3 days. We've talked about it at length today. I'm sure you're listening because you always do. He responded within less than 24 hours. Do you apologize to the host of this fine show, our producers, our employees, and our audience for your misinformation, sir?
Kind of like the CNN journal.
All right, I'm going to try that one more time. Do you apologize to us and our audience for your misinformation, sir?
Yeah, okay. Let's speak more about it. Why don't you ask the 75 business owners on State Street that had their buildings damaged and destroyed?
Yes, and the person that did that, CJ, has been arrested and prosecuted and convicted of crime. So justice has prevailed.
Oh, really? And you guys have covered that.
I was specifically there that day, CJ.
You guys aren't even honest. And I listened to that previous.
All right, go ahead, Curdy, because now he's talking trash. And when you were specifically there, what day?
I was specifically there the May day where there was the Black Lives Matter protest, the march to acknowledge George Floyd led by Brandi Grayson. And it was a peaceful movement and the event basically broke up. And then there were some young agitators that stuck around and kicked in windows that had little or nothing, as near as I can tell, to do with the Black Lives Matter protest. And in fact, the entire tone of the day was anything except violent until about dusk. Until it wasn't even dusk. It was like 5:30. It was shocking to me because this otherwise peaceful event, I'm watching young white girls from Wanakee kick in like the door at Goodman's Jewelers.
I know, dude.
And I watched a friend of mine, Alan Robinson, go out there and put himself and his little French dog, Coco, beautiful little doggy,
yeah, it's cute,
got in the way and protected people's property. And I thought to myself, this man has character. You know, he lives in this neighborhood. He didn't want to see the destruction in his neighborhood. Well, the people didn't want to see the destruction in Kenosha either. But you know what? Nowhere. And I was out there at some of these events and I've seen some violent events, and nowhere amongst the rioters was Tony Evers or Mandela Barnes. And I don't think the language, the statement issued by Tony Evers, contrary to Rojo's assessment, there was nothing inciting about Tony Evers' statement. Tony Evers basically acknowledged that sometimes black people get shot by the cops and people react to it.
That was to Rojo and to the right and to the hard Trumpsters. That is an incitable comment, Curdy. At least to them. To them. You can't say that. That's not true. Or do you really want to say that? Because we shouldn't talk like that. We shouldn't talk about it. Either way, it's insightful to them. Because that's a hard thing to swallow. And if I also may, so what comes out of this kind of activity, right? The unfortunate phrasing of defund the police. Defund the police, as some people have spoke about in reference to the unarmed shooting of black men and by police in this country. And the fact that sometimes, many times, justice does not prevail in those cases. And now, what do we see from the Trumpsters? Well, their guy's got like super secret documents that he's not supposed to have and have been negotiating with over a year to get back. And they went and finally got them back. And that is the crime against humanity, to defund the FBI. I'm sorry, but it's so not even close to the same universe. And for anybody to bring it up and act like, oh, this is, you know, two sides of the same coin, you're just wrong. And I find it very offensive. Thank you.
Are you hangry, man? You need Snickers?
Man, are you kidding me?
Wisco Paul, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. I don't mind CJ calling in, but it could be a little more civilized and let other people speak and try to get his facts straight. My understanding is, now I might not have my facts straight, but my understanding is one of them, that Sue Brooks was a police officer's daughter and a friend, so... but you might want to check that. But what you were talking about there basically you stole my thunder. It's not the same. It's
Trump and Black Lives Matter. And CJ, just be cool when you call in, for goodness sakes. Thanks for taking my call, Devils.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it, man.
You know, cool is a state of mind, and CJ just ain't going to get there. I don't think he can get there from here. You know, it's a distance, a chasm. We got a break coming up, don't we?
Yes, yes, we do. Can't take any more calls, but we will take more on the other side of this very short commercial break at 844-967-2789. The Republicans have been trying to compare, you know, what happened, the insurrection at the Capitol to Black Lives Matter protests, and it's so not the same thing whatsoever. There was
sure it is
Black Lives Matter protest.
You know what the commonality is?
In Washington, D.C., that's when Trump went and hid in the little private room because he was scared of the scary black people, right? And nothing happened.
You didn't leave me any time to tell you what the common thread is. You'll have to stick around. More Devil's Advocates.
I figure we have 42 minutes until the end of civilization as we know it.
Holy mackerel, folks. Let's get to work.
Charged, well, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Crudy, I forget who the caller was, but I did want to double check it. Media Matters reported Alex Jones encouraged vigilante violence in the days before gunmen killed Kenosha protesters. You can find this from August of 28th of 2020 at Media Matters. So, yes, this was a national discussion, and Alex Jones did wade into this.
Last time we saw Alex Jones, he was wading into the Westboro Baptist Church trying to pick a fight, wasn't he?
Well, I was too, but that's beside the point. Don't make me and Alex Jones be on the same side of anything, man.
You look like him. There's a little similarity there. 844-967-2789. Our pal Dana from La Crosse up in God's country. How you doing, Dana?
Hey, Dana.
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself? What a beautiful
day. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, CJ, here's the thing. You cannot have a legitimate discussion with people about these type of topics if you're not informed. And I've spent a lot of years monitoring the right wing and their vernaculars, their explanations, their logic, and it's never there. They're wrong about everything. They have to rewrite history. They obfuscate. You can show them documents. You can show them historical fact, quotes, anything that proves, you know, what regular folks are trying to show them, but it's fake. Everything's fake. And, brother, you're going to have a long life ahead of you if everything from here out, the remainder of your life, that you don't like is fake. You best come back down to earth, son.
You know,
that's all I got, guys.
Those bridge Thanks, out Dan. Signs, Dana. Big sign. I'd go for it. I wouldn't believe those street signs. They're always trying to lie to you, Trumpsters. Keep driving. 844-967-2789. Pizza Box. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, not too bad. I went to Kenosha for the March for Justice for Jacob Blake and his family and a lot of other families that have gone through the same thing. And, I mean, there were hundreds of us, literally. There was no violence. There was no call for violence. There never is that when the families are out there. You ever notice families are saying, we want justice. We don't want any, you know, kind of reaction, right? Then do you remember the police, like, you know, pushing down that old guy and cracking his skull and kicking women and pulling their hair and stuff and pushing people and bowling them over? You know, people like CJ don't remember that. Or they just can't accept that. And the only killing that went on that whole summer was white guys killing white guys. That's a fact that people just can't grasp onto. You guys got to learn how to handle righty, righty from now on.
Pizza Box, sorry, man. You got a little tick in your phone line there. 844-967-2789. I expect it. It might be NSA, Dom.
they're listening. They're listening in. We appreciate the call, Mike. We got some more on the line here, Evan. We have Drew from Lake Mills, Wisconsin. Welcome, Drew. What do you got for us?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, everybody. So it's been a while since I've called in, but I just want to remind everybody that, and you guys too, that this CJ character is living rent-free in your heads right now. And
don't let it fool you, Drew. I'm totally fine with it.
With Dom's short-term memory, there's nothing living in his head.
But my question is, you allow different points of view to come in and say what they want to say, and when they start becoming fringe-like, you're like, that's enough, goodbye, right? Why won't Vicky McKenna take my phone call and put me on the air?
She'd take Dom's phone call.
Yeah, you know it, baby.
But only late at night, Drew.
But there is absolutely no dissent in their ranks. It's either you are for this and you're going to spout off everything that is maybe fake, maybe true, who knows at this point. But there's no accountability. There's nobody pushing back, and I wonder why that is.
Drew, every so often, I listen and call in to Righty Whitey Talk Radio just to stir the pot a little bit. And I don't think I've ever called Vicky's show because, you know, we're preparing to do the greatest radio show ever when Icky Vicky's on. But I've called into Dan O'Donnell a couple of times, stirred his pot. You know, it's funny because, Drew, I realize we just answered your call fairly quickly after it was screened, in deference to the fact that we're nearing the end of the show. And if you'd like to sneak a call in, you better dial quick. 844-967-2789. Maybe. But I know I called Dan O'Donnell one day. I had to wait like 8 seconds. I was on before I had said my name to the screener. Hey, it's Mike on a car phone. And then I think from Evermore, you know, like we can see people's names and we recognize where you're calling from. So right, eventually we learn,
you know,
the
controls. We have it. You can see caller ID. You can see your names. We can tell you if you're not using the right name.
But anyways, I think that my name has been blackballed from Righty Whitey Talk Radio forever. I suspect forever, you know, unless we go on and reset their computers and, you know, clear out their saved messages, all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't work, George. We know who you are as well. Is he still trolling us, Evan? I don't ever read the text anymore. George?
Nah, man, he's moved on.
Has he died? Do you think he's moved on?
Goodness.
Buried under the daisies.
I would suggest, you know, I don't know, Drew, I like, you know, I have some, we did have a conversation with CJ at one of our events, and he's a gregarious, funny, you know, absurd kind of fellow. And we had non-FCC compliant discussions at a bar, and it was quite enjoyable, especially because I consider myself the winner of those conversations. But generally speaking, I don't know what the reason is, man. I don't know why someone would stand up and say, I believe, you know, the sky is red. And then if anyone that doesn't believe that calls up and, you know, challenges that assertion, all of a sudden you're just not going to take their call. So that to me is kind of, it's not the point of call and talk radio, man. You know, I mean, the point is to have discussion. And if we can, and I've gotten some grief, and we've, you know, when Ron Johnson came on the show, we get grief, and we take CJ's calls and we get grief. And but that's fine. I mean, a little bit of that. But notice we haven't had Ron Johnson, and he's gonna kind of getting his ass kicked right now. Because when you come on this fine show, we can humanize you a little bit, regardless of how atrocious your politics might be. But I'm wondering if there is an insecurity with some of the other hosts who don't quite have, you know, the volume of knowledge and experience and miles that Crudy and I do, especially combined. So maybe, Drew, the short answer is they're scared.
Well, that was like 3 minutes too long for a short answer. Thank you to our fine guest, Dr. Harvey K. Appreciate you coming around, Harvey. Tomorrow on the big show, I believe we got Caree Pennybaker, right?
Yes, sir. 4:30.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Something to look forward to. Thursday, Domless Thursday, but back on Friday. You know, it's summer, so Dom takes a lot of days.
I'll be back.
See you on the radio tomorrow. Me and you as well, Sylvia.
Yeah, I'll be here.
I will fight you.
That's no lie.
Those are fucking fighting words.